Today we are going to study from the 1 Timothy chapter 5 and starting from verse 1.
Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren.
Okay, now here St. Paul is saying, rebuke not an elder. People who are older than you, you should give them respect. If you go to India, maybe Africa, and some other countries, they have a lot of respect for older people. Some people call me from Africa, and when my wife picks up the phone, they call her mommy. And so, even though she doesn't know them, they know this pastor's wife, so they call mommy. When we see older people, we call them uncles. But here, sometimes some people do not care you're older or you are in age. They try to kick you, put you down, take your money and run. But here the word of God is saying, you should not even rebuke the elder person. If he did something wrong, you should be gently handling him, not to insult him, not to do any harm, speaking something wrong to him. Younger people, like your own brothers. Today people don't even treat their brothers nicely because they think brother is their enemy. Tricks everything. If he's older, oh, he's going to take everything. And so they do not respect even their own brother. But the word of God says, if you do not respect your brother, love your brother, how can you love the God who never saw with your own eyes? And he says, if somebody hates his brother, he is living in death, walking in death. So it is very important as the child of God, love the elderly people, handle them carefully, as well as younger people as your brothers. Verse 2.
The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity.
Now here he says the same way. If the elder women, treat them as a mothers, and the younger, treat them as your sisters. And he adds some little bit more there, with all purity. That means, if you're loving somebody and taking care of that elderly woman or some sister, think that she is really your mother or she is really your sister. Nowadays, people looking at the elderly woman or young sister, if they are alone, single woman, no husband, not with purity, not with love, with but lustful desire. That's what he's saying. When you're taking care of the older person or older woman or the young woman, think about purity. You remember what Jesus Christ said? If someone looks at the woman with the lustful eyes, he has already done adultery in his heart. You don't have to do anything. Just looking at the woman with a bad desire, you have already committed adultery. Because God is not looking outwardly, he looks inside of your heart. Otherwise, word of God will not be saying this if everybody has a pure heart. But that's what the word of God is saying us. We have to be very, very careful. Verse 3.
Honor widows that are widows indeed.
Now here is saying, honor the widows that are widows indeed. What does it mean? There are widows, and there are widows, they are not like widows. That's what he's trying to say. If there is a widow, really widow means living as a widow, that's the widows you should be helping. And there are the ladies, they are widows, but they are not acting like widows. If you go to India, you will not have any problem finding the widows if they are Hindus, Christian ladies, it will be difficult for you to find who is widows and who is not. But even the Hindu people, you can find who is widow and who is not widow without they telling you I'm widow. Do you know how? Because the India, they have a custom, if your husband is alive, they put a red mark on their forehead. And that's the sign that her husband is still alive. Her husband dies, they take that red mark out. Now all of a sudden somebody would say, that lady's husband is dead. So here is saying, there are some widows, if they are really widows, then you treat them as a widows. That means some widows are not acting like widows. Okay, verse 4.
But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God.
Now here is saying, if any widows have children or nephews, but if you read in New King James, it says children or grandchildren. If the lady became widow and she has her own children, or she has nephews, or she has grandchildren, or her mother and father alive, then the word of God is saying that widow should be repaying to her parents, children, grandchildren, and helping them instead of somebody help her. If some of the ladies became widows and their mother and father still alive, the word of God says if your mother and father still alive, you take care of them instead of looking for husband. If you have your own children, take care of your children instead of looking for a husband, and then you are husband and you have problem in the house. Because the ladies who marry second time, they will have problem with their children. Because the other people do not treat her children like his own children. This is good and acceptable before God. What is good? Taking care of your own children, taking care of your grandchildren, taking care of your mother and father. That's better than going and marrying somebody and having fleshly desire fulfilled. So he says the widows should be very careful what they want to do and think what God wants from me. I was busy up to now with my husband and my children and my grandchildren. Now what I'm going to do? I'm going to dedicate my life to serve my own family. Verse 5.
Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day.
Now here is saying there is another widow. She doesn't have parents. She doesn't have children. She doesn't have grandchildren. She doesn't have nephews. Now she left alone. Means she has nobody. And she is alone, lonely, and frustrated. But that kind of woman, what she's supposed to do is trusting in the Lord and continuing in supplication and prayers night and day. That's the kind of lady will be a real God-fearing widow. He's not saying if you're a widow and you left alone, look for somebody. Not like that. He says pray night and day. If God is with you, you don't have to be afraid of anything. The God is the one supplies our need. No man, no woman, nobody. So stay with God, pray more, and God will take care. Once you are a godly woman, God will put that burden in the hearts of the pastor or the congregation, and somebody will come to rescue you and help you in your time of need. Verse 6.
But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth.
And she is living in pleasure. That lady, even though she is alive, in the sight of God, she is dead. What does it mean? She's going to go to hell. She is a living hell. in the sight of God. Because if that lady, when her husband is dead, and now she's saying, thank God he's dead. Now I'm free to do anything I want to do. There are ladies, they want freedom, their husband to be dead, so they can run around. It says, if the widow living in pleasure, she is dead. She's alive, but she is dead already, spiritually dead. The word of God is saying, we are not living for the world, we are living for God. When your husband is dead or your wife is dead, and if you are old enough, don't look to get married. Say, Lord, rest of the life, I'll give it to you. In India, they might be worshipping 33 million gods, but they have at least some kind of worshipping heart. You know what the Indian people do? I'll tell you. From early 25 years, they go on study, whatever they can. Then 25 to 50, they will have children, jobs, and family. When they turn 50, pray to God and live godly life. In those days, 50 means you're already finished your half of your life. Now people living longer. So here he says, this lady is widow, but she is living in luxury, in pleasure. So the word of God says, if they're living in pleasure, they are already dead. Verse 7.
And these things give in charge, that they may be blameless.
What kind of life you should be living? If there is an elderly person or elderly woman, treat them like a mother and a sister. So he said, don't be afraid. Once you are a man of God, a pastor in charge, you have responsibility to tell them the truth. Sometimes people don't tell. Oh, he's my boss, I cannot talk to him. Oh, he's my mother, or he's my uncle, or he's my elder brother or something. I cannot tell them about God. Don't worry if they are elder or older. You still have commanding power from God to tell them the truth. Tell them with love and with concern and win them to Christ. And he says, why? Because we want them to live a blameless life. If you don't tell them, they say, I didn't know that. So we have to tell the people the truth. Verse 8.
But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
Now here is saying, if any person not providing for his own family, that person is like worse than infidel. Now there are people who do not take care of their own, they try to take care of others. Why? To show them that I'm a good person. When the paycheck comes, go and give it to somebody else, or some other lady, or some other children, and your children are suffering, and your wife is suffering. That is not the will of God. He says you're supposed to take care of your own household. You don't have food for your own children, and you're giving to dogs and cats. That's not God's will. Feed your family first. Today people are so proud. Oh, I don't have children, but I have 10 dogs and 9 cats. Oh, you have 10 dogs. They think proud that I have animals. There are people going hungry, without food, dying. We don't have to have luxury keeping dogs and cats and spending $100, $200 for them monthly or even the yearly. What we supposed to do? Take care of your own family. Take care of your own house. Take care of your own wife, your children, your grandchildren. That is the responsibility. He said, if you don't do that, you are worse than infidel. What is the infidel? Infidel is the evil, bad person. He says you are worse than a bad person, or worse than an evil person. Why? You are not taking care of your family. Sometimes some people, when they get a paycheck, first thing they run to the bar and spend money in bar and give money to the prostitute or whatever, come home with an empty hand, and whole week family suffers. That is the foolish thing anyone can do. When you get a paycheck, run to your home. Sometimes people, when they get a paycheck, they go to some store. Let's buy some sweets for my family because we have a paycheck. And you go and buy the sweet for $100. When you go there, somebody says, oh, you have a paycheck today? Buy this, this, this. And you got $100 sweets. Children and everybody happy to eat $100 sweets. And tomorrow, we have no food. You don't have to have sweets and candies on a paycheck day because you have to think how much money I have and how much my budget is for a whole week. You cannot spend more than what you make. When you start spending more than you make, that's why people go in debts. We have to have a common sense. You have to sit and think, this is my paycheck. I get $100 a week or $500 a week, $1,000 a week. What is my priority? Food for my family first. Clothes for my family first. And then luxury. Then car. Then movies. Then eating and outside. That comes next. Not the paycheck day, take the whole family for the luxurious dinner, $50 a plate. And when you $500, you finish and come home, and next day, looking for hoagie, looking for a hot dog, or something else. God has given us wisdom to take care of our own family. Don't try to give somebody else and keep your children hungry. Feed your children first, and then if the neighbor's children having problem, help them. Or somebody else. Don't keep your children hungry and try to feed somebody else's. Verse 9.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man.
If the lady is widow and she is not 60 years old, she might be 55, 35, 40 years old. That widow you should not be taking in the number of the church support group. Because in those days, the church would take care of the widows and the old people. And today also, they have senior citizens' home or the pastor's home, retired pastor's home. We don't have it yet, but I'm working on it. I'm praying that someday we will have the retired person's home for at least ministers and the church members. They don't have to go to nursing home. They can, after they get old, they can go to the Christian home, and so we can take care of them. And those people used to do that. So he said, if the lady is not 60 years old, those days 60 means very old. Now, today, 60 means young. And India, I can say 20, 30 years ago, they used to retire people when they are 50 or 55. Here, we used to retire people when they're 60. Now it's 66, 67, and now somebody's saying, make them 70. When you're 60 means very old. You cannot work, you cannot do anything, you're already retired. So he said, if the lady is like that, then take that lady in the church account, and the church should support her food and shelter and everything. If the lady is not 60 years old, then he advised that lady to go and get married. Let's read the verse 10.
Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she had relieved the afflicted, if she had diligently followed every good work.
Now he said, that lady, if it is 60 years old, still she has to have this kind of good character. Not because she is 60, you take her in the church account. She has to have good life. If that kind of lady is a widow, then you take her in our account. The God-fearing lady, taking care of the people who comes to her house, not nasty. Now, some people do not like stranger coming to their house. And some people are very happy to entertain the people come to their house. So here the word of God is saying, you have to be finding a widow. She entertains people, strangers, keep them in her house. If the saints comes to her house, she washes feet. Now somebody says in today, you don't have to wash your feet. But in our country, we are still doing it because people come with sandals and dusty road. First they come, we give them the water, and sometimes some ladies or men wash their feet. And that is humbling, but we do that way to let the people know that we love them. And so he said, those kind of ladies, you take it in the church account so we can help them. Verse 11.
But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry.
So he said, if the younger woman, she's a widow, and she said, okay, you know what? I have nobody, and the church should take care of me. And he says, by mistake, if you take her in the church account and start paying her bills and start helping that widow, what's going to happen? Pretty soon, she is going to be looking for a husband, not going to come to church or no spiritual matters, and slowly walk away from the church and get married. And what will happen? Then the church name will be spoiled. So in that kind of lady, you should be very careful taking her in the church account. You should telling her, if you are young, you better get married, otherwise you will be spoiling the church name and our name and family name. So advise them to get married. Verse 12.
Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith.
Now having damnation because they have cast off their faith. And what kind of faith is a first faith? And how you get saved? You get saved by faith. And how the faith comes? Romans chapter 10 verse 17. He says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. So when somebody comes to you and preaches the kingdom of God and preaches the Jesus Christ and preaches about heaven and tells you if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you are going to go to hell. And the word of God says, godly sorrow produce repentance. How? You have to hear it. When you hear the word of God will tell you that you are a sinner. Then you repent of your sins and you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So he says, they give up their first faith. The word of God says, in a book of Revelation, he says, you have lost your first love. So what he's saying? Repent. If you don't repent, I will take your candlestick out. Now somebody says, what is the candlestick? Or what is the lamp? In the Revelation he said, the lamp is the church. The church is the bride of Christ. Once you lost your faith, once you lost your love for God, then you are backslidden. So he says, I'll take your place out of that lampstand and you are gone. What does it mean? You'll go to hell. So first love and first faith is important. The time they got saved, they started working too much hard for the Lord and witnessing and telling everybody. And when 10, 15 years goes by, you calm down. You don't talk to anybody about Jesus Christ. The faith can have shipwreck. Your faith can be destroyed. Just like faith comes by hearing the word of God, and you start hearing gossiping, start hearing soap opera, start hearing the bad news, what will happen? Your faith will shatter and you'll go away from God. Go to the book of Hebrews and chapter 12 and start reading from verse 1. Here it says, he's talking about the faith warriors.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us.
Now here he's saying, we have the cloud of witnesses. Who are those? The people who went before us. We're talking about the great men of God, great women of God. They died for Christ, and they are like a cloud of witnesses all around us. Who did great things and died. Their witness is like a cloud of witness all around us. So what is this trying to say? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Now, what is this sin easily try to pull you down? Now, he says, when you're running in a marathon or running for some kind of a prize, take all the weight off. You see the people are running for marathon. Did you see them backpack on their back and running? No. When they use the bicycle, they use the bicycle, very lightweight bicycle. And so he said, every weight, whatever the sin is coming and trying to entice you, take it out. But there is a sin, he says, easily comes in your life. What is that sin? Is unbelief. When you have unbelief, you will never make it. The word of God says in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8, it says, all unbelievers will go to hell. If you lost your faith in Christ, you missed the mark. So how you get saved? By faith. So he says, remember your first faith or first love in Christ. And so if you really, really want to run the race, then you're going to look towards Mark, to the point where you want to go. Read that verse 2. Yes. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So he says, when you're running your race, where are you looking? Looking unto Jesus. Why Jesus? Because the Jesus Christ is the author, creator of your faith. And he finished his race. And when you looking unto Jesus, he's giving an example. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the same, and he sat down at right hand the throne of God. So what he's trying to say, Jesus Christ finished his race. Now he is sitting at the right hand of God on his throne. So, and why are you looking at him? Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. If you keep your eyes on something else, you're going to miss the mark. When you're teaching somebody driving for the first time, what do you tell them? Look ahead. If you're teaching somebody bicycle, what do you say? Look ahead. If you start looking at your pedal, or looking at the tree, or looking at the pole, you're going to bump into the same thing. You look straight. And that's what, where we're going to look? Looking unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So how you keep your faith alive? Keep on reading the Word of God. Keep on studying the Word of God. Keep on going to church where the Word of God is preached. Then your faith will be strong. Verse 13.
And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not.
Now he says, these ladies who lost their first love, who denied Jesus Christ, what they're doing now? They're going to house, and they are telling all kinds of gossiping stories and busybody, speaking all kinds of evil things which they're not supposed to say. And that's the kind of life those widows are living. He said that's the kind of life God doesn't want. When they don't have anything to do, what do? Read the Bible, pray, go to church, talk about Jesus. Then your life will be strong and healthy spiritual life. Talk about Jesus, what Jesus Christ has done for you. What did you hear last Sunday's sermon? Did Jesus did heal you or did miracle for you? Start telling about God. We are going to go up, not down. So think about heavenly things. Okay, verse 14.
I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
Now he says, you know what I'll do? I will advise you, if the younger woman lost the husband, advise that younger woman to get married. And tell her, have some children. Take care of your family. And don't give anybody chance to say any bad about you. He said, adversary. Who is our adversary? The devil. The adversary, the devil, will speak shameful things about you. Not the Christian people, not the born-again pastors, not the spiritual people. Who will say bad about you? The adversary, the devil. Now see, the devil working among the heathens who are not believers. They will not tell their own people to go and worship, go to church, have spiritual life, but they will looking fault in Christians. You are Christians, you didn't go to church. You are Christian, why are you living life like this? So the devil come to accuse you. He said the devil adversary will speak blasphemy, evil things, shameful things about you, and make advertise about your life. Verse 15.
For some are already turned aside after Satan.
Now some, who are some? Some widows are already turned aside after Satan. What happens? The Satan start accusing, you are a bad woman, you are living in luxury, church doesn't love you anymore, church doesn't care about you, and you are already filthy, church doesn't like you. And this kind of thing the Satan will tell, and Satan will draw them towards him, and then they will follow the Satan. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. When you do good things, he will come and whisper. He will say, you know, you're not good enough. There was a man, he came and gave his heart to the Lord. And the devil said to him, he was so rejoicing, devil said, you're not Christian. He said, I just gave my heart to the Lord. And so he comes back, and next Sunday he gives his heart to the Lord again and does the sinner's prayer. And devil said, you're not saved. So he got so confused. Every Sunday he's asking to get saved. And one day he filled with the Holy Spirit. And he was rejoicing and praising God, and devil said, you didn't receive the Holy Spirit. He said, now I got it. Up to now, I thought I'm not saved. Devil didn't tell me that day you didn't have the Holy Spirit. But the day I got the Holy Spirit, devil said, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Now I know devil is what? A liar. The word of God says devil is a liar and father of all liars. So if devil tells you you're not holy, what does it mean? You are holy. Devil said you are bad. What does it mean? You are good. Devil will tell you lie. And he tried to destroy people. And finally people said, okay, I cannot beat him. Let me join with him. And then they become, go to the devil's group, go to the dancing party, and destroy their life. So they are already following the devil. Okay, verse 16.
If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged. Then it may relieve them that are widows indeed.
Now here he's saying to the church, if there is a widow, and in that family there is a Christian, brother, sister, mother, father, so they're supposed to take care of their own widows. They do not give the burden to the church. They should take care of the widows. Don't dump the widow to the church if you are able to take care of your own. And so he says, if you are able to take care of your mom and dad, they took care of you, you take care of them. The same way the widows. The widow's children are supposed to say, okay, mom, my dad is not here, but I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. I do not want you to be burdened to the church or the government or somebody else. That's what the word of God is saying. So he said, we have to teach the church members how to take care of their own family members. If they don't hear, they will not be able to do it. Verse 17.
Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine.
Now here he's talking about the man of God. When the man of God becomes old, and now maybe he's a pastor, he's a deacon, or he's a servant of God, and when he's not able to preach or do anything, don't push him around. Take care of him. Why? He says this man should be able for the double blessing. Because he worked in the vineyard. And he's sometimes people, they are older pastors, I see, they are in their 70s or 75, and they are retired. But they are still preaching, still going to church and helping, but the church doesn't give them anything. I asked so many ministers, do you get any money from the church? No. So I am thinking, if God gives me money, somehow, somewhere, I would like to take care of the retired pastors and ministers. And I want to tell them, you serve the Lord, we want you to be blessed. Because here he's saying, they're supposed to have a double blessing. And then he gives an example, when the ox doing the harvest and trading the wheat or barley or corn, don't put mask on his face. Let him eat freely. So when we preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he said, don't put mask, means don't think that if you take the money from the church, you are doing something wrong. You are working for the Lord and you're supposed to be fed by the Lord. That's what he is trying to say. Okay.
For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward.
That's why he says, if somebody is working in vineyard, somebody is working in the farm, the bulls or ox, they're supposed to eat from that. The same way, if the pastor or the ministers preaching the gospel, they should be live by it. And so the word of God says, minister supposed to be helped from the church. Verse 19.
Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality.
Now he's saying, when you seeing this, that people are not doing right thing, man, woman, elderly person, the minister, or whoever it is. So he said, if they are not doing right thing, you do not insult them. You have to have a 2-3 witness before you condemn somebody. And then he says, if you really found out that person is really living in sin, then you bring that person and accuse him or rebuke him in front of all people, so he will not do it again. So there are two different things he's talking, but you have to have some kind of wisdom. And that's what he's saying, I charge you in front of the verse 21. I charge you before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels. What he's trying to say, he said, listen, God is watching over you, Jesus Christ is watching over you, and the angels, not the fallen angels, elect angels, the angels who are serving the Lord. All of them are watching over you. What they're watching? How you judge the people. Are you judging the people like a favoritism? Somebody gives me more money, so I would not say anything to them. Someone gives me less money, so I condemn them. Or somebody, I like that person is handsome, so you give them a hug. And some people are not handsome, push them around. Are you doing that? He's saying, if you do that, you're doing wrong. Don't do anything by partiality. So the man of God should not looking at somebody with a partial eyes or partiality. You don't know me, but I'm telling you, there are people came to our church giving $1,000 or $12,000 or $1,000 or $1,500 per month. But when I found out their life is not right, I told them, this is not right what you're doing. I don't care how much you give, but I tell you the truth. People come and $900 or $1,200, they come and give it to me. I say, today is not Sunday, why are you doing? Oh, I might spend it, so I give it to you. So I put it in the church. But I don't keep mouth shut. If they did something wrong, I tell them, what you're doing is not right. But I don't tell everybody why people left and why who went and what somebody did. When the time comes and somebody really asks me, I'll tell them. But I do not compromise. Here the word of God says, the man of God should not be partial. If somebody gives you money, yes sir, you can do anything. There are churches, if the person gives you $1,000,000, and they will allow everything, whatever they do, because there is a saying, money talks. If you give the money makes you blind, but not the child of God. I don't care who gives less or nothing. We do not say, that person doesn't give anything, don't care about them. And somebody gives me more, give them hugs. You are giving me more money or no money, we will treat you equal. Because you are the child of God. One person is good, another person is bad. Don't do that. You should be not partial. And one man, other day I talked to him. He said, I went to 10 churches. They don't like me. They don't need me. I said, sir, what is the problem? He didn't tell me, but I found out. But anyhow, what I'm trying to say, I tell the people, come to my church. I love everyone the same way. No big, no small, no black, no white. We are all equal in the sight of God. And that's why St. Paul is saying, don't be partial. Don't be looking for one another and different eyes. Verse 22. We are finishing.
Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure.
Okay, now he said, don't lay hands suddenly. Not sickness or disease. Don't make somebody pastor or elder suddenly. If you do, he says, you will be taking their sin upon you, or you will be partaker of their sin. For example, now the one man died, and they could not find anybody to be pastor, they ordained his wife as a pastor. Now, whoever ordained, he is taking the other person's sin, partaking other person's sins. Pride, jealousy, anything they want to be pastor so fast. Whoever ordained that person is responsible. He says, so don't lay your hand hastily or so fast. Judge, find out more details about that person. That person should be well known in community. The community should not be saying, we don't want that person to be pastor. And then don't go secret behind the door and make that person pastor. He should be well known in the community, respected in the community. And that's the person you should be ordaining. And you should not be ordaining hastily. If you do, that person's sins will come on you. Verse 23.
Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities.
Now here he's saying, don't drink water all the time, Timothy. Sometime you get sick, drink some wine. Somebody says, Bible says drink wine. So I'm not feeling good, so I drink wine. Is that Bible teaches you? Go to the same book, chapter 3, verse 3. What is he saying?
Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous.
Not given to wine. Who is that? A minister. Timothy is the minister. Now the third chapter he says don't drink wine, and the fifth chapter he says drink wine. No, he cannot change the word. So point I'm making, I went to my Bible, my language. And when I was looking in my Bible, he says, take some grape juice. The grape juice and wine he's selling in the market is two different things. He said to Timothy, drink grape juice. And now, Concord juice, the advertising is good for your heart, good for your stomach. And buy the Concord juice. Before that, the juice was not that expensive. Now that juice, because they advertise, now $3, $4, $5 a bottle. Before that, nobody was thinking about grape juice. But the grape juice is good for your stomach. That's what the Paul was saying, drink grape juice, not the wine. How we know? Read the following two verses and then you know. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and 25.
Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. And some men they follow after.
Now if he's telling him to drink wine, he's telling him to sin. So he's saying some man's sins are open before them and some man's sins will follow after them. There is a saying, your sin will find you out. So some people's sins you can see openly. This man smokes, this man drinks, he beats his wife, he's a bad man. And some people do some secretly. But say there is nothing secret, they will follow him. The judgment will come, God knows everything. Verse 25.
Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid.
So he said, if the Timothy is a man of God, then his good works will follow him. Paul cannot tell Timothy to drink wine and get drunk and be sinful. He says, no, you're not going to be sinful, you're not going to be a bad person, because your good work will follow you, and there is no good work are hidden. Some people, you know, they give some money to poor people and widows and things. They say, don't tell me, don't tell anybody that I give. But people will come to know. Here he says, there is nothing hidden. You sometimes do something, charitable work, people see you. People don't see you. They will know your good works. Because good works will not be hidden. So what we are learning today, we are the children of God and we are going to walk according to the will of God. We are not going to fall in the temptation and the devil, because he's a devil, he's an accuser, he will try to pull you. And we don't want to be backslidden, we want to go further. So here he says, how the man of God will be treated, how the brothers and sisters should be treated, how the widow you should treat, and what kind of life Christian people should be living. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. We don't have to worry about food. We don't have to worry about clothing. We don't have to worry about housing. We don't have to worry about gas prices. We don't have to worry about anything, because our God is bigger than these things. And our God is supplying all our needs according to his riches and glory, by Christ Jesus. So Lord, we are going to trust in you. We are not going to stay away from God, but we are going to follow Jesus Christ. Give us grace to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.